Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Classic Sports Connection with your host, the classic one, Sean Bryant, and my co-host, the pretty boy, Doug Masters.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing out there today? Sean,
hey, that was perfect timing.
That was perfect, wasn't it?
I couldn't have timed that any better, man.
I hit go, and
you popped up.
Yeah, man, I called him all going, and it went the same deal. But, yeah, is Cole called in? Is Cole there yet?
Not yet. You gave him the number, right?
Gave him the number. Let me text him real quick while I'm talking to you.
All right. Oh, man.
We're on now, right? We're live.
Yeah, we're on now.
All right, man. You got a big show coming up this Monday, right?
Yeah, I got, man, I tell you what, we're going to get into all of that because I got some big shows, I got some big announcements, a couple things that haven't even been put out there yet that I'm still working on. There's Cole right now.
All right.
Cole Crittenden.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
What's up?
Hey, brother, what's up, buddy? How you doing? It's Dougie. What's up, brother?
What's going on, baby?
I don't know much, man. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
We're good,
dude.
I'm doing all right. Doing all right, man.
Doug sounds, he's like Bam Road Hard put away wet. Must have got one of them hookers.
Yeah, that's it, brother. You know me. You know when they run the pretty boy, they want the pretty boy, you know? Shoot. What woman don't? Yeah, Cole, brother, how you been doing, man? I haven't rode up and down the road with you in I don't know how many years. It's been a while. Where you been up?
Oh,
what you been up to, man? What you been up to?
Nothing, man. Just trying to live my life.
Yeah.
Rumor has it you went MIA the other night, Cole.
Cole, you there?
Cole.
Maybe we lost him.
He must have hit a dead zone. He's still
he's
showing
MIA
on
now.
Here.
He must have been in MIA now. Yeah, must have hit a dead zone.
Tampa hookers must have got him.
They must have did something, bro. I'll tell you what. I think he's down. Last time I talked to him, he was down in the city, I believe. Oklahoma City. You know, that was a great wrestling. I know when Bill Watts ran the UWF, Little Rock started the Mid-South down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then Bill Watts took over and started UWF, they'd do a big thing on Sunday afternoons, like every Sunday afternoon, they'd be at the Mary in Oklahoma City, and they'd do the second shot that night in Tulsa, the convention center, so they'd do a double shot that day, and I can tell you stories. I know one Cole can tell you a story about I seen Butch Reed at the McDonald's.
Butch Reed.
Gimmick. Yeah. Well, he did a shot.
As in WWF Butch Reed?
Yeah, Hacksaw Butch Reed.
Butch Reed.
Yeah, that was Hacksaw Butch Reed. Yeah, he went as Hacksaw Butch Reed down here. And he when they did their double shots on Sundays, I remember Coach telling the story that I believe it was him and his dad. Hopefully he'll get back on air in a minute. And
he completely dropped.
He can fix me if I'm wrong, but they was doing a double shot there on Sundays like they do every other Sunday. You know, Sundays, watch was UWF. There was a McDonald's halfway between Tulsa and Oklahoma City on the turnpike on I-44. He said him and his dad was pulling up there, and Butch Reed gets out of his car with his ring attire still on, right? He's just getting done wearing when he was wrestling there in Mary. So, you know, heck with it. He just stayed dressed because he had to work that night, and it was only about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from the city to Tulsa, so that's why they always made their shots every Sunday like that, because it was a close shot. Afternoon shows, you know, church is over with, everybody goes out and eat, and you'll see the wrestling matches, you know. And
So the hookers released Cole. He's back.
He's back? They let him go? I thought he was MIA. I thought he was going to be MIA today.
I'm here.
So, you there? They let you go, huh?
I don't know what happened.
I tell you what, brother, I was telling everybody out there about the story we was talking about. Running two shows on Sundays. I was telling Bill Watts, you should do it on UWF. And if I remember right, fixing up Oklahoma a bomb at Oklahoma City.
And talk
yeah.
that to me.
Yeah, you told me a story about you and your dad seeing old Butch Reed on the turnpike going to McDonald's something, stealing his gimmick that he wore that
okay.
night, you know. Tell
yeah,
a story
I've
about
that.
That.
Yeah. Coming to start up again. But when Butch Reed was going to McDonald's on the turnpike.
All right.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you there? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Are y'all there?
Go ahead. Yeah, we're here.
I got a better one than that one. Now, let's talk about Adrian Street.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Adrian Street, you know, played the sissy. He played like he was, you know, how should I word it and not make anybody mad? There's only one way. He tried to play like he was a sissy, like boys, and you know what I'm saying. That was his gimmick. You know, and he, my dad, you know, he took me up there to all these shows when I was in middle school and stuff. And I, we were sitting there. I would go out and work and make money any way I could because I had to pay for us to go because he was thinking, yeah, get out of it because, you know, I was a 12-year-old kid. Well, this 12-year-old kid went out and got all kinds of cans, hauled hay. You name it, I did. I'm a country boy. So I made money. We was going up there watching that. But we were sitting there, and he was supposed to be working Terry Taylor. Terry Taylor was actually hurt his knee or something, so Bill Dundee, superstar Bill Dundee, was coming out to work against him. But when there was two guys in front of us, I'm from Stroud, Oklahoma, most of my life, but we was living there, and there were some guys from Bristow sitting in front of us, and I'll leave the one guy's name out. Just because, you know. But anyways, these guys from Bristow was hooping and hollering and razzing old Adrian, calling him a faggot and, you know, everything else. I'll whoop your ass and blah, blah, blah. And he runs down there on Adrian. He just gets real belligerent. He's up on the little reserve part looking down there at the Tulsa Convention Center. And that guy from Bristow was saying all that shit to Adrian Street. And Adrian, she said, looked at him and said, he said, jump on down here, big boy, and I'll show you what kind of fucking faggot I am. I'll whoop your fucking arse. He straight up told him that. And that guy come on, you know, that guy said, he was looking real funny. He said, I will make you my bitch, is what he told him. And Adrian, that guy from Bristow came up there, sit down, and all those guys sitting in front of us was with that guy from Bristow. They said, hey, man, what did he say to you? He said he wanted to, I'll clean it up, but y'all can get the deal. He said, he wanted to give me a oral fellatio. And I heard that, and I looked at my dad. We're sitting behind him. I said, hey, Dad, he's lying about that. I said, Adrian Street said he'd whoop his ass. And my dad started laughing. Well, they went ahead and did the match. And Adrian's wife, which was his manager during the deal, of course, she knows she did the butt finish on Bill Dundee. And some female mark, jumped on her. And she whooped the mark's ass. Well, on the way out, that guy from Bristow that was running his mouth, I guess he was trying to save face because those guys knew what Adrian said, and they knew how he acted like a bitch. Anyways, he went down there, started talking that shit again, and Adrian said, hey, big boy, he called security over, he said, let that fat motherfucker come down here on this floor, and we're going to go to the back, and I'm going to whoop the dog shit out of him. He said, and they other said, come on. He said, no, I'm going to go push him down. And he set his ass down. The best thing that could have happened to him that he sat down was because Adrian would have done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Cole. Yeah. You're right.
I'm sorry. I thought I lost y'all again for a second.
No, we lost Doug for a minute. He went and played in the Tulies.
Yeah,
you're back, Doug.
Okay, okay.
Yep.
I lost it. Went network went down or something like that.
For those listeners or people that may not know about Adrian Street, nah, he wasn't gay. He just played the part. And he for real,
hell of a part he played for a long time, too.
Yeah, and if you ever get a chance to look at the interview, how he started doing that, it's actually impressive. It could actually teach a lot of these young guys to wake up and open their eyes and pull, you know, change their gimmick up.
Him and Rip Rogers were both. Rip Rogers was another guy that kind of wrestled in that Femi style back then. I know when he was up here in the late 70s, early 80s, they built him as a surfer dude from California. And he had the blonde hair locks and the shades and he had that muscle look, like a muscle bound surfer from the California beach.
Oh yeah.
And that guy could run circles around anybody, still teaches some of the best talent in the world. For those who don't know, Rip Rogers trained guys like Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, John Cena.
Yeah.
He trained a lot of those guys that are now the top stars in the world were trained by Rip Rogers. And one thing that people don't know is that you can get trained to wrestle and do everything it is. But once you get from I call it Backyard USA, from the independents to like the world class stage of a TNA, a WWE, any of those, you know, Chikara, Noah, any of those major wrestling promotions, you have to scrap everything you were taught and readapt your whole wrestling to what they want to do. Because most old school promoters and trainers, like the Rip Rogers and such, they teach you old school. They teach you how to work in the ring. They don't teach you all this scripted promo junk that you have today. You talk to any old school wrestler, I'm sure Doug and Cole can even agree with this, is that, you know, when you guys were probably taught, it was the same thing. It was like, you get in there and you work. It wasn't about, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and then we're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. It was, you just went in there, you worked, you wrestled, you chain wrestled, you arm barred, you sunset flips.
When me and Doug started, you got crowbarred in. Am I wrong, Doug?
You're not wrong. Tell you what, one thing you did.
Tell the listeners what crowbarring means.
Tell them, Cole.
The crowbar, I mean, what do you use the crowbar for? You use it to break stuff, pry stuff up. It's still stiff. It usually whatever you hit it with, whatever gets hit hurts or breaks and all this and that.
Yeah.
So basically when you got in there, they stiffed the living hell out of you. You didn't really have to sell because it was pretty much real. Sometimes it was real going both ways. They did that a lot of it just to see how tough he was. Hence that one TV show that one company, WWF, he had tough enough. If you think about it, they want to see if you was tough enough to be a pro wrestler. See if you cared about the business enough to keep coming back. See if you respected the business. And then after they seen that you was worth messing with and worth smarting enough, that's what they would do. They would smarten you up and actually help you along and help you start achieving your goal and becoming what you need to become.
And you know what's funny about some of those shows like the Tough Enough and whatnot? Most of the guys that were in those shows and whatnot, the ones that made it, never made it beyond that. Because they just didn't have what it took. Or they thought they were too big for their britches and shit got real on them and they went fly by night. So tell us a little bit about your history, Cole.
Oh man, let's start out when I was a kid. Of course, y'all Doug was telling me about that. I started out watching wrestling when I was a little bitty kid. Though you know how you ask kids, "Hey, want to become pro?" You know, what you do when you grow up? There were three things I always said I was going to do. I said I was going to be a pro wrestler. And I said a preacher, a policeman, and a pro wrestler. I was in that order. And I said up from the time I was about 3 years old all the way up until I eventually seen an ad in the paper for professional wrestling out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I went up there, and a couple guys had a school up there, one named Jerry Cook and the other one, and his partner, Dennis Heflin. They just Dennis Heflin is an Elvis impersonator, by the way. But we get there, and those guys were trying to do a work on me, and it's kind of funny. And I went in to see this. I went to where they had their facility at up there, and it was like a little storage building that had an office built onto it that they was renting. But anyways, when I showed up there, Jerry Cook was there, and he was sitting at a desk on a phone, one of those corded phones that looked like they were from the 60s or whatever, 70s. And he was talking on the phone. "Just a minute, I'll be with you just a minute." And he was talking to Bill and how Tretch, and later on I figured out he was talking about trying to refer to Tretch Phillips Jr., cheated on this guy because he was trying to kayfabe it and make it look like pro wrestling's real.
Wow.
And anyway, going and on, and this guy by the name of Joey Steiner came in there during his work that he was trying to pull on me, and there was some other kid that had come in there. He'd come in there right after I did, and he was sitting there next to him, and he was all looking like his eyes was big. He was all fired up. And Joey Steiner came in there, and when he heard him talking about Tretch Phillips Jr., he said, "Yeah, he did that to me. He cheated and blah 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 this and that. And that's how he pinned me at that one show." And they just kept on and on and on. He was saying, I need to film him. And I could tell he wasn't talking to nobody because he was talking too damn fast and not giving whoever he's talking to time to talk. And if he'd have been talking to Bill Watts, is what he was trying to listen to, Bill Watts would have been chewing his ass out. And number two, when I looked at the phone he was on, you know how they used to have the cords that went from the phone into the wall? It didn't even have the phone cord plugged into the phone or the wall.
Wow.
And I just
so he was Polly Dangerous in.
Yeah, so I kind of laughed, and I didn't say nothing, and which I wasn't worried about it anymore, but anyways, these guys, he wanted to go show me that this, you know, he started talking about money and how much he's going to charge and this and that, and I said, well, He was trying to way overcharge me. Let's put it that way. And I just looked at him. I said, "Well, man, why should I pay you for me to learn how to do this fake shit?" Is what I told him.
Uh-oh.
And of course, yeah. And I said that for a reason.
What did he say after you told him that?
Jerry Cook. Well, he started trying to put a front on like he was tough and how he was gonna kick my ass and show me how fake pro wrestling was.
Yeah.
And what happened was, you know, I was 17, 18 years old when I read that ad and I was there. That's when I started learning how to wrestle. When Jerry Cook started that shit, he said, "Well, come on in here. We're going to go in here and get in this ring, and I'm going to show you how fake this stuff is." I said, "All right, motherfucker, let's go." He started going. He was sitting there trying to do his little goofy walk that he did. He turned around. I already had my shirt off. And when I was 17 years old, I was 6'3" and about 245 pounds and no motherfucking fat.
Oh, wow.
And he turned around and looked at me, and his eyes got big, and his mouth dropped open. He said, "So you're really ready to get down with me, to fight me, aren't you, and wrestle me?" I said, "I'm going to fuck you up. Come on." He said, "You passed the test, kid. You passed the test." He was scared. And I already read him on that, but he was scared. He said, "Come back on Monday." And this is like on a Friday. "Come back on Monday, and we'll start your training." I said, "Okay." So weekend goes through, you know. This now I come back Monday evening and show up there. When I get there, there was about 10 or 15 guys there. And, hell, one of them was like 6'6", big Indian guy. Later, it turned out, like, you know, later on, I got, you know, after I got some business, I got to know him. His name was Chief Red Eagle.
Yeah, I just,
Joey Steiner, and I can name off a bunch of them that was there. But at first when I got there, though, I thought, oh, shit, you know, the Red Eagle kept running jokes about, you know, next week, guys, at the end of their, at the end of the training, he said, all right, guys, tomorrow night, next training session, we're going to get in there and we're going to do naked leg scissor holds. And this cat, and I was laughing because he was clowning around joking, and it's funny as hell. But the whole time I was sitting there, when I looked around all those guys, Bobby Burns and Dirty Dan Wilder and guys like that, I thought, you know what? That guy was really scared when he turned around saying I wasn't scared of him. I was ready to get down with him. He may have had me come back here to have all these guys and himself jump on me to, you know, kick the shit out of me all at one time. And I thought, well, if it happens, it happens. I guess I'll come back tomorrow and then I'll have to do it again. And I sat there, and then all those dudes left, and then they got me in the ring, and they started having me learn how to take a bump.
Wow.
And I stayed in the ring from about probably 4 o'clock that day until 12 midnight that night, taking bumps.
Yeah.
He stopped. Boom, 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 boom. And I did that 7 days a week. And that one thing they did to me, they did do, and don't get me wrong, but you think about it, I was showing up at 3 o'clock, 3:30, we start, sometimes 4, but I stated that they had to make me go home, and it was usually when I would leave, it was like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. One time I had two guys stay with me till 3 in the morning.
Wow. He's right.
That's dedication to your sport.
Well, you know, I said I was going to be those three things when I grew up. And I've become all three of those. But that's my, you know, that was my dream as a kid. And I was chasing my dream. And that's what a lot of these kids don't, you know, they don't want to do. They don't want to chase it. They all, when they bust into this business or try to get in this business, they go to a pro wrestling school. And they think that they're going to go in for a week or two or a month or 2 months or 3 months. And they think they're going to be out wrestling, making big bucks and all this and that. But what they don't realize is it ain't like the old days. The old days, if they didn't give you that much training, they put you in the ring, you got crowbarred in six, seven days a week.
Yeah.
Eventually, you get smart enough. Well, I had about 2.5 weeks of training and had my first match. And they put me and this guy by the name of Tim Ward. He'd only been working 3 months, you know, before I even come through the door. And they put us in down there at a
rookie and a rookie.
Yeah, rookie. And what was funny is they was going to let us put our own matches together. So Tim couldn't he could think of about one or two things. I actually put the whole match together and took 2 things and one that fitted them good. And they had us do one match. Watch it. And so we did it. And hell, to tell you this right here, me and him we was practically shooting through the whole match.
Oh, really?
Because, well, yeah, I mean, we had 3 months. That's how they was doing me. They was stiffing me and this and that. And I liked that anyway. So I played football. I love to play football. I love contact sports. Honestly, I was knocking the shit out of each other. You know what I'm saying? Anyway,
That's one thing about Southern wrestling with Texas and especially Oklahoma. I've seen, you know, you don't hear a lot about those particular territories in those days or whatnot. But one thing you'll find is a lot of the top talent in the history
some of the top guys came from Oklahoma, Texas area. Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Paul Orndorff, you know, some of those guys went to Tulsa and Oklahoma City and lived in those areas and wrestled there and then moved on to bigger and better.
Yeah, they used to be the same than the old thing. They used to be a saying in the pro wrestling world back in the day, back when Bill Watts had his deal going, even Leroy McGirt, they'd tell all those guys, if you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and if you can become a superstar there, if you can make it there, you'll be a superstar throughout the world. I mean, that was for real. Now they say a lot of different things about the talent in Oklahoma, and I'm not talking bad about it. I'm just being honest. A lot of people that kind of talk bad about the talent in Oklahoma now.
Yeah, they do. Some of them haven't got enough recognition. That's one thing right here. I mean, you know, the old timers walk back in the day. I can name a handful of them from Oklahoma. Ed Lutez, how about Danny Hodge? How about his Zach Wild? What's his name? Zach. Zach Wild or whatever. He's from
Zach Zarbo?
Huh?
Zach Zarbo?
Yeah, well, I believe it's he's Danny Hodge's grandson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Oklahoma here, yeah. See, if I just think about it a little bit, I want to think more. Doug Masters is from Oklahoma.
Who the hell is Doug Masters?
The old broken guy, old man that can't even hardly walk around now, waiting on another knee replacement. And go ahead, Cole.
To finish out the deal, though, all those veterans watched our match, though, before the show that Saturday. They watched it on a Thursday or Friday. I don't remember now. And somewhere in the process, two and a half weeks, I cracked my damn ribs. And anyways, I was still in there doing it, still stiffing it out. And we got done. They all was impressed and going over there shaking Tim's hand, saying, "Boys, Tim, you did a good job putting this together." And Tim looked at me and said, "Hell, I only come up with two things." He put the whole damn thing together and took my two things and put them in better spots.
Wow.
And why I did that, because I watched I took all the 19 early 80s wrestling that I watched, and that's what I put together. And that's how I did it.
Old school.
I just did it old school. But now I was going to touch base on the Oklahoma thing. A lot of guys in different areas like Texas and different places, I'm not going to throw names out, they talked about that when I seen some of them last time and the time before that and for a few years. They always talked about it. They said, back when I started this business, they told us to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you can make it there, you'll be a world-renowned star. Now it's a joke, and that's what they say. But a lot of these guys that's trying to work and break into the business in Oklahoma, it's not their fault. These guys go to these schools, not just in Oklahoma, but throughout the country. You got these scamming guys that don't even train these guys properly. They give them a few weeks of training or maybe a month or two, and they throw them out in front of a crowd. And the guy that's training them don't even know what he's doing anyway.
Right. Yeah, that happens everywhere, I think, these days.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I mean, not just Oklahoma, but everywhere, but that's what happened with a lot of these guys in Oklahoma.
So do you guys have 100 promotions running around down there, too?
Oh, yeah. And and I actually have some rumors that there's about 3 or 4 more popping up here in Oklahoma.
That's what I heard, too. That's what I heard too.
I know there's one kid that has wrestled. He's done some spot with WWE before and whatnot, but never had a contract that's running down there. Brandon Groom.
Brandon Groom. I got a funny story about Brandon Groom. Brandon's actually I wish he could get a break and he could get signed up somewhere. But I'll tell you something about Brandon Groom. Back when I was in my early 20s, I ripped my foot off, and all the hell was on was the skin because I was jogging and stepping in the pothole, and they had screws that they put in my ankle and leg and all that. My brother was a football coach at Bristol, Oklahoma, and while I couldn't do anything, couldn't go to wrestle, couldn't work, make money, we went to the – I'd go to Bristow, and I'd get with my brother and go to the gym, and I couldn't work my legs, but I could work my upper body and back. So I was going to the football gym there where the football day was, and I was hitting their weight. And while I was sitting there hitting it, this 12-, 13-year-old kid come up to me and started talking to me, and he's like, "You're a pro wrestler, aren't you?" He starts talking to me like that, and I'm trying to work out, and he just keeps talking to me, and just keeps talking to me and won't stop. And I'm not, I'm a baby face. Plus, you know, I like kids, even though I wasn't much older than him, even though I was like 21, I think, or 22, however old it was. And he just kept talking. He talked to me for about an hour and probably a half or more, and I was just trying to get my workout on. Anyways, and finally, his dad or brother, somebody that was with him, they kept saying, "Brandon, come on, come on." They finally got him to go on, and I got back to my workout. And then several years later, during that process of talking to him about wrestling, he asked how to get into it. And I told him, you know, how to get into it. Look for ads, look for, you know, something on TV. If he ran into me again, I would show, I'd take him somewhere and have somebody train him or something like that. Well, long story short, this is way later on. I come into I was working at a place called OPW, Oklahoma Pro Wrestling, and I go in there to wrestle. And I had this kid come up. He had some good size, felt real good. Not a bad looking kid. No, I'm not saying that's what the business calls for. Bring good looking guys in, bring the women in, and that's, you know, if you're big and ugly, you better be ready to be a heel. But this kid comes in and says, "Hey, Cole, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time, blah, 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 this and that." And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, "Who the hell is this motherfucker?" And I said, you know, that's what I'm thinking. He said, "I haven't seen you in a long time. How's your brother doing? This and that." I'm thinking, you know, I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Bristow." I said, "You're from Bristow?" Yeah. And he took off out of the dressing room where we were at. And I don't remember who I said this to. I looked at a couple guys. I said, "Hey, man, that little fucker talking to me?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Who the hell is he?" They said, "Brandon, he talks about you a lot." And I said, "Where the hell is he from?" They said, "Bristow." And honestly, at first I was thinking, did somebody from down that way know I was wrestling, telling my name down, think it was going to help them get into the business? Hell, this place, all they're going to do is say, "Yeah, come on in, give me your money, I'm going to train you." That's how Oklahoma Pro and a lot of them got down. They was wanting your dollar.
Right.
It kind of pissed me off at first. And then all of a sudden, as he was coming back through, when he came back in, I started talking to him. I said, "Hey, Brandon." I said, "When was the last time that we seen each other?" He said, "Oh, that one time at the Bristow football field weight room," and all of a sudden my light bulb went off. And I said to myself, I said, "I'll be damned if that little ass kid that you know, come in there and talk for about almost an hour and 45 minutes. After
drove me nuts, but took what I said to heart, and is there years later."
And I said something about Brandon. Brandon was a hell of an amateur wrestler. And you know, he's one of the boys. He paid his dues, and he's there. I wish he could take it further.
Yeah. We're going to want him on the show one day.
Y'all started in the when I was with Dennis Heflin and Jerry Cook. They had Tom Jones come up to one of our shows, and Tom had me start coming up on the city and tell me not to train and be around the false guys anymore. And so I was going, and I was going up working with Tom and train. Tom Jones.
That was a hell of a trainer, Tom Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom was. This old man, Tom Jones, Mr. Ebony. He was one half of the
Ebony Express.
Ebony Express. The other one was I can't think of the name of it. They were they had pork chops, cash. Oh man, I cannot remember what it was. They wore the fedoras, and I can't remember it all. I'll think of it after we get off there. I've been hit.
Eric Embry used to wear a mask.
Yeah. But Tom was working with me, and then Dick Murdoch, a little bit later on, worked the show with us. And Dick, it was a fundraiser for Broken Arrow High School to get the band to go after President Clinton's inauguration. And anyways, Dick Murdoch came in there, and quite a few of the veterans in the locker room was over there getting they was marking out for Dick. And I ain't gonna lie, I was sitting there trying to play cool, but I was marking out for Dick for trying to play it cool.
Was you? What?
Yeah.
Who in their right mind wouldn't have been marking out for Dick Murdoch back in his day? What a hell of a worker.
Oh, yeah.
His birthday just says.
He teach more in 1 minute than most people could in
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. I was trying to put a number to it, and I was going to say 10 or more.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of old timers, guys, I do have a recent update. In the last hour, it has broken that. Nate is alert and awake, and is talking to people and starting to come around a little bit. Still on dialysis. Also had an external pacemaker placed to run his ticker. Inside, but on the outside, I guess. They called it an external pacemaker. And also cut a promo on his nurse, so he must be doing better.
Oh, he did. He cut a
That's
promo
good
on
news.
His nurse?
Cut a promo on his nurse this morning.
Wait. you know what? You know what? Only Nate would do that. You know what?
Right?
Only Nate would do that and get away with it. And
I mean, who else can survive a plane crash being struck by lightning and their whole body basically imploding at almost 70 years old and looks like might be coming out the other side of it. There's only one nature boy, that's for sure.
There's only one, move. Nobody can follow his footsteps, I guarantee that. I guarantee that, brother. Wow, that's good news. That's great news.
That is good news.
Yeah, he was in a coma for a week, what? A little week?
Close to a week, 6 days. He went in on Saturday night. They placed him in a coma last Sunday morning. So, yeah, 6 days.
Yeah, I was telling one of these guys here that Nate, he woke up. He's awake. Rick Flair, Nate, your name. Yeah. It's all over, it's all over the network. You know what? I was saying to myself, everybody's asking, well, it's the same thing. He's still in a coma. And I was telling Cole and some other guys, I said, once they find out that he's coming out of it, they'll let the world know, and that's what they've done, evidently. So yeah, all the TV station, Fox Sports, all that will be coming in on it now. And
also Wendy has stated that. Did they want everybody to just stay away and they want private time right now and he needs to rest and get his strength back and they'll deal with the public at a future date. But she's asked that everybody please kind of just leave them alone and let them deal with what they got to deal with. So hopefully the media and the press will, back off him a little bit and let him heal.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, if they respect him, they will. But, you know, there's always going to be somebody out there that's wanting the first interview when you first come out, you know.
Yeah.
There's always going to be somebody like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's great news. Nature Boy is coming back.
Yeah, we've been talking about that this week, haven't we?
Oh, not just you, the whole world.
Oh, yeah, also, another rumor, now, I don't think it's an actual working rumor, but you never know because old school tradition, when you lay your hat and boots and jacket in the middle of the ring, usually means you're done.
Yeah.
But Michelle McCool and Mark Calloway, otherwise known as The Undertaker, are reportedly backstage in Brooklyn tonight.
Oh, really?
For SummerSlam weekend. My guess is he's probably doing an appearance maybe tomorrow for some meet and greets and stuff, maybe. I think it's very possible he could. They've been doing some crazy things lately. It would not surprise me if they had him maybe pop over the railing or something tomorrow to cause Brock Lesnar the title, a.k.a. Getting a revenge factor on him losing his streak. Very possible.
That would be very possible because shooting down an angle they did, it wouldn't doubt me at one bit. You're right.
Because the angle is running right now is that if Brock loses tomorrow, he's leaving the E again. And I think that's already a foregone conclusion. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going back into the MMA world once his suspension's over there. Because there's a lot of talk about some big fights with him and some of the top talent in the MMA. Matter of fact, John Bones Jones just called him out a few weeks ago. I don't know if y'all saw that, and he stated that, careful what you ask for, kid. I just might be your raker. But I do believe that it could set up something, you know, along the lines of a one more match, only because of the fact the fans have really been pushing for him to do one more match. Nobody expected him to do what he did last year at WrestleMania by dropping his gear in the ring like he did. Most fans know that's it, that's all. There was no build to that. So therefore, maybe they might be able to put one more match together, you know, with him on WrestleMania weekend. Hence, he would be the main inductee into the WrestleMania that year, into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I kind of watched certain things. One of the things that I noticed was both Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, and I think a couple other guys over the last dozen years that have gone into the Hall of Fame lost their last match the very next night on WrestleMania.
That's what Nate did, wasn't it?
Yeah. So as soon as they got in, as soon as it was announced they were inducted, they were going over their match was going over the next night. They were losing, putting the younger talent over.
Well, what was it? 20 some years that The Undertaker was undefeated at WrestleMania.
Yeah, 22 years.
22, wow. I think it's the longest run that anybody's had for the losing
streak. It
is. Certainly
yeah.
Did WrestleMania for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt me if they do that angle like you're talking about.
Well, the reason I thought of that angle was just because of what I've seen lately where, you know, Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal, they had in St. Louis, had Orton's family and his dad and some of the other old-timers were there ringside. the angle they got, the Jinder Mahal and them got an argument with the family members and the old timers. They swung over the top, you know, obviously getting involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, you know what? Leave it up to Vince.
You never know what's going to happen with Vince McMahon. That is very true.
That's very true, you know. Yeah, yeah. Hey, another
thing. Hey, guys, I wanted to announce a couple of things. I'm going to give everybody a rundown of the next couple of weeks. Monday, we have a British history lesson with British wrestling historian Bradley Craig. Different start time. It's going to be noon my time, which will be 2 o'clock your guys' time. He's over in England, so it's 8 p.m. in the evening there. We're going to talk about the Scottish Hall of Fame, also about British Wrestle Reunion, and about the book he co-wrote with Stone Cold's ex-wife, Jeannie Clark, who also will be on the show Monday for a short time. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a one-on-one with her. I've been friends with her for a couple of years now. Had lengthy talks of Dallas and England and early times with her and Chris Adams in England when they were kids. And just a wonderful, wonderful lady. Got to meet her in person this year at Cauliflower Alley. So they'll be on the show Monday. Tuesday, I got Sunny the California Girl from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the original Glow Ladies. She's going to talk about Powerhouse Pro coming up next weekend with Jake the Snake Roberts and several others in Rubicon, Wisconsin. Sunny and Roxy Astor, the Park Avenue Knockout, are both going to be in the corner of Awesome Kong, formerly of TNA, who's now on the new Netflix series Glow, which was just renewed for 2 year for season 2. They're going to be in her corner Saturday night, next Saturday night, against another girl. I think her name's Sarah Riley. I have to look it up. But she's going to be opposed by, in her managerial corner, is historian Chaz Moretti from Central California. And
wow.
We're going to talk Glow. We're going to talk the Afterglow cruise in March, going to the Bahamas with all the original Glow ladies. All kinds of different things. By the way, this involvement next weekend with Sunny and Roxy managing the new Glow, Awesome Kong, be the first crossover between the original Glow and any of the Glow wrestlers today. And I believe Awesome Kong is the only actual legitimized wrestler they have on that show. And then Wednesday afternoon, we're going to sit down with a Calgary history lesson with Calgary historian Bob Johnson, who worked with Stu Hart in Calgary for over 40 years and is also a producer of Heartbeat Radio on Blog Talk. He's going to sit down with me, him and Bruce Hart, legendary Calgary trainer. Bruce Hart, brother of Bret Hart. Also former tag team partner of the one and only Brian Pillman. And we're going to talk about their run in Calgary and him and Brian's short run in E as a tag team and much more. That should be an interesting, probably 2 hours on Wednesday. And then next week, on the 30th, we've got WCW World Class ring announcer David Penzer. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk world class. We're going to talk Dallas, Gino Hernandez, Fritz, the Von Erichs as a whole. I get David's take on the Von Erich curse, as they've called it over the years. And maybe get a little insight. David was very well hooked in with the Von Erichs, was also a booker down there part of the time. So he's got a lot of world-class knowledge, and he's also now the new ring announcer for Impact Wrestling. So now here we've gone almost 30 years full sail, and now David Pinder's gotten back in the ring, and he's running television every week with Impact Pro.
Yeah.
And then on September 5th, we have Florida trainer, former World Wrestling Entertainment trainer down at the Performance Center before it expanded to so big, Alex Porteau, and we're going to talk about Pro Wrestling 2.0. This is their second – next week is their second anniversary show. This is something that Alex started on his own a few years ago. He started as a school originally as just training some young talent on the indies. Now he's got a full-blown promotion and wrestling school. Got some of the top talent in the indies. What's that?
He has a really nice facility. I said he has a really nice facility also.
Yeah, a phenomenal facility. If you've never seen his facility, it's pretty much about as close to the Performance Center as you can get. And it's literally just down the road. And on Monday and Tuesday nights, he does occasionally, he'll do some live Facebooking of the training shows. And just some phenomenal talent. Santana Garrett, Tessa Blanchard, Charlotte before she got to the E, did some shows down there. Tons of talent. He's got guys like Road Dogg and Bram from Impact and so many others. Santino Morella was helping him as well. He's got a phenomenal crew working down there. And then the next night, on the 6th, we have Evan Ginsberg, executive associate producer of the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, and also New England wrestling historian, and also former AWA ring announcer, backstage persona, entrepreneur, very well known in Minnesota, Minnesota historian Mitch Karch. They will be on the show Wednesday, September 6th.
Well, I tell you what, that's 3 months worth all lined up.
Yeah, it's all the way through next. It's like six shows in the next couple of weeks, and I've got more on the horizon. I'm working on King Kong Bundy, possibly.
That's what I was
thinking. Also, just put a word out today to WCW, excuse me. I believe she did a little bit of world class, but WCW, one of their biggest vixens back in the day, was one Missy Hyatt. And through some connections, I've gotten connected with her. She's going to hopefully be getting back to me in the next day or two. Let me know her schedule. We're talking a little bit about hers. She's got a couple of gyms she runs down in Florida also, plus what she's doing today. And just got a lot of good stuff coming, guys. The show's really doing well. Doug, you got to pick up some sponsors on that end, man.
That's what me and – actually, that's what That's what me and the man right there is witness to that call we were just talking about the last few days. Huh, Cole? Cole, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm trying to need to pick up some sponsors on this end of our territory down here. And I think we, me and you, were just talking about that today and the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see if we can't get a couple of guys, you know, any of the old school legends you guys might be able to get in contact with. I know you're both in contact with GFW, Global Wrestling, Steve Cox.
Cox, yeah. Steve Cox.
And a few others.
Yeah, John.
I'd like to get some of those guys in. Bill Dundee?
Yeah.
John
Lustman, too. Yeah, Doug Gilbert. There's a lot more. That show we're going to do, and then we'll talk about world class. Steve Cox, you know, he got a good push down in world class with Michael Hayes. And he'll probably be on there.
Yeah, that's something we should work on. See if we, you know, I know Steve Cox and Michael Hayes were, and I believe still are very well connected, even though
yeah,
Michael works at the E.
Also, we're going to have even Superfly Snooker's nephew. He's up and he's getting ready to start training. That's a shoot. Getting ready to start training. He's going to sound like a kid in the background right there when pretty sure he starts out, but he's gonna start training, and we're gonna get him on the air, and he's gonna talk a little bit about his family, about how his uncle, what he remembers about his uncle growing up, and like he told me, it was like an everyday deal that he come home, that all the boys would sit around the kitchen table, talking about family business and family. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be a good story. It'd be good to have some insight into some of the Samoan legacy and Samoan dynasty.
Certainly, he's up and coming. He's gonna start training. So
that'll be a treat. Yeah. Also, Alex, I talked to Alex, and we may. That's just our live shot. We can stay on for a couple more. We may have a couple of guests on Alex's show. Maybe a couple of the trainees might be able to get Bram on, who he just brought in as his new head instructor. Bram used to wrestle in TNA up until about a year ago, and also have he's got Santana Garrett. And so many other. Brittany Diamond also is a regular down there. Good mm-hmm. female talent. Hasn't quite gotten the push yet, but with Alex's help, it could happen.
I know who you're talking about, and what I've heard, it will. They're just thinking about probably a good time. Working in their program.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Coach, still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, he's got the hooker on his knees.
Nah, I don't mess around with hookers, man.
Oh, man, you're on kayfabe. Anyway, do you have anything else to add to your story, Cole, before we probably wrap this thing up?
But I think maybe I am the hooker. Maybe I'm not. Back in the day, I used to be the hooker.
Well, on that, John, I'll give it back to you.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. And again, feel free to call in Monday if you want, Cole, and listen to some great wrestling British history.
Sorry, I kind of lost my voice earlier. I've been out doing street ministry today, and that was part of my problem today.
Ah. That's all good. You're spreading the word, man. That's what it needs.
Kind of having a hard time.
Especially with all this
time.
Insanity.
Oh, man. Yeah. I've been getting alerts on my phone from CNN all day about things that have been happening. Just little stuff. The major stuff, you know, over in Spain, they had some tourists, American tourists.
Yeah.
That was in part, yeah, some terrorists over there. Just, yeah, it was crazy.
World's gone to hell in a handbasket, man.
That's what you think of.
Too many people.
You talking about Oklahoma wrestlers, man? Y'all left out Danny Hodge, Bill Watts, Red McKim, Irish Mike Clancy.
Yeah, we should do a show on that one of these days. We'll talk about some of the different guys that came to the different territories. Y'all got to connect to Danny Hodge?
Yeah, we do. I'll talk to you not on the air about that.
We're off the air now. We're still on, but we're off live. We're not recorded anymore.
Oh, we're not? Okay, cool. I didn't think so, bro.
Is this isn't recording right now? It's just us three?
No. It's just us three.
Okay. Danny Hodge is in starting to have dementia.
Really?
Early stages. Don't let that out real big. Cause
right, right.
Family, but, I mean, keep it kayfabe, please. But that's what's going on with him. But, you know, I think it was last year they put a Danny Hodge statue of him up in William Perry, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I remember reading that.
You know, I heard something about that, but I really wasn't going to say anything because I didn't, you know. It'll probably come out later on, won't it? I'm sure it will.
Oh, yeah. Somebody will get wind of it.
Zack Ryder, yeah, that's his grandson. He's a heck of a worker. Doug Mantell was managing him for a while.
Oh, that's Danny Hodges' kid?
That's his grandson.
Zack Ryder's his grandson.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Hey, I'm going to hop off. I'm going to pull up in the store right here. I need to get me something to drink or some candy or something to suck on because, my throat's it's kind of hurting a little bit.
All right.
All right. Let's go.
We'll talk to y'all soon. It's all good, man. We're done anyways.
All right, Coke. You there, Coke, still? Where are you at?
He left. So, yeah, see if you can't work on Bill Watts. Find Bill Watts. You said you found his number or whatever. Fucking Doug left.